Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Show, where we share tips and resources to help you cure back office blues. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by a person I have a tremendous amount of respect for, attorney DeShonda Charles. DeShonda is president and CEO of the Tackett Firm. Her law practice focuses in the areas of estate planning and probate litigation, employment discrimination litigation, as well as family law matters. DeShonda is actually licensed to practice law in the states of Texas, Louisiana, New York, and Connecticut. She's the past president of the Houston Lawyers Association and former adjunct professor of business law at the Keller Graduate School of Management at DeVry University. DeShonda and I actually met earlier this year in 2019. We both spoke on a panel at our alma mater, Tulane University, and I knew right away, just from hearing her speak and knowing how knowledgeable she is about this topic of estate planning, I knew right away that I had to have her come on the show and talk to us about estate planning, succession planning, and what it means for us as we grow our businesses. So today she's actually going to share with us the one thing we need to know about estate planning. And this is something that has been in the works for several months now. So without any further ado, DeShonda, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hi, Alicia. Thanks so much for having me. I'm well. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, let's get right into this because I know there's so much to be said about this topic and it's very broad. But can we start off with you first defining exactly what an estate plan is? And if you could then segue into the type of estate planning work that you do at the Tackett firm.
Yeah, sure. Great question. Great lead in. And quite simply, an estate plan is more or less your strategic plan to protect your business or your assets throughout your lifetime. And from being taken away from you, you work so hard to earn what you have or to build the empire that you're building. And it is essentially your strategic plan to preserve what you're building.
I love that definition. What type of work do you do as it relates to estate planning at your firm?
So what we do are a couple of things under the umbrella of estate planning. We obviously create individual plans that would be for families, single persons, business owners, and parents. So that's important as well to not think of ourselves as just individualized, but we create estate plans for families and parents. And we also litigate estate disputes. So that's probate. Most people don't see that as litigation, but it is. So if you've got a will contest action, somebody's challenging whether a will is valid or whether the disposition in a will, meaning the distribution, who gets what, if that is valid, it's considered estate litigation or probate litigation. So we do that as well. But primarily what we like to do is help people get organized, figure out what they have in strategies for protecting them, and then developing and executing plans for that protection.
Now, I know this is an unfair question that I'm about to ask you, and I've prefaced it this way with every guest so far this season, but if there was one thing, DeShonda, that you feel we need to know about estate planning, what is that one thing that we need to know?
Well, I think at a basic level, the one thing is two parts, but it is one thing.
Okay.
The first part of the one thing is you need a plan. You need a plan. I mean, it sounds simple enough, but you do need a plan. Many, many, many of us do not have a plan. And the second part of the one thing is, and a will is not enough. So you need a plan and a will is not enough. I would think that's the main message I'd want to convey to anyone listening in today.
I am so glad you said that because I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of this show, but it was, I don't know if it's still in circulation, but it was called The Will. and it profiled these different celebrities. And for me, as a layperson watching this, I'm thinking, oh, these are celebrities. Surely they have a huge team of people that would include different types of attorneys around them. How can they pass away and not have a will in place? But then there were oftentimes when people would have wills in place, but then those wills would be contested. So is that what kind of what you're getting at, that not only do you need to have the plan, and a will is definitely not enough because wills can be contested?
You hit the nail on the head. I mean, a will is kind of the basic estate plan that you can have, one of the most basic components of an estate plan. It's just one of the many tools in the toolbox of how we can help you establish an estate plan. But yes, what a will does is it expresses what you want, but what it doesn't do is truly protect your beneficiaries from lawyers, courts, states, getting a piece of the pie that you've amassed over your years of success. And it doesn't always go the way you want it to go when someone challenges the will. The difference is, at least there is some guidance when you have a will. When you don't have a will, there's no guidance. You can have a myriad of unintended consequences for not having a will at all. But if you do more intentional planning, more personalized planning, you can preserve a lot of the assets that you've built over the years. If it's important to you to leave a legacy, you have a better chance at accomplishing that goal posthumously than if you don't plan intentionally. And so, yeah, you know, celebrities alike, you know, I've followed some of the cases myself, and it's disheartening to see when a will isn't very clear as to what you want. And because the mechanism of challenging a will, you know, it's just going straight down to the courthouse and doing just that, challenging the will, it can deplete the assets that have been gained through the years of the dead person. And so, unfortunately, it can deplete the pot of money that you're even arguing about.
I think for me personally, DeShonda, I realized just how important a will is. When a very good friend of mine, she passed away. She was 1 month shy of her 37th birthday. And I think at the time I was about 34, 33. I remembered seeing how her family fought over her assets. Even though she was married, she still had other family members that were trying to get in the mix, so to speak. And it got really messy, got very ugly. And I remember telling myself, before my 40th birthday, I am going to have a will in place. And one thing that was very interesting for me, I remember filling out a form that this particular attorney that I was working with had given me. And the question came up about succession planning. In other words, do you own a business? If so, who do you have in place basically to take over the business? Not even just in the event of your death, you could be incapacitated, or you could get into a really bad car accident, or something can happen to you where even though you're still alive, you may not be able to physically take care and do the day-to-day things to run and operate your company. And I remember starting to ask people that I thought would be well qualified to take over my company in the event that I'm no longer able to, and nobody wanted it, DeShonda.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted it. And I had to really start rethinking my entire business model. I had to literally start building my company with the intent to sell it, because it would be such a shame, again, if God forbid something happened to me untimely, and then the business dies with me. So can you speak a little bit about how estate planning ties into succession planning? The people who are listening to this are executives and leaders of fast-growing companies. So can you talk about how those two things tie into each other?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you even taking the time to figure that out, or at least to identify what you don't know for yourself.
Because yes,
that's so important when you're starting a business, or even, you know, if you've been in business for a year or two, to really start thinking about succession planning, because, you know, we accomplish so much to get to the point of becoming business owners. And the challenge of making that business successful should be a long-lasting legacy for you. Mm-hmm. And if you don't think about succession planning for your business, it's the same thing as not thinking about estate planning for yourself. What's going to happen when you perish? And unfortunately, without succession planning, the day you die is the day your business dies. You don't think about it in advance. And so the way estate planning piggybacks on succession planning is that as an individual, you own items and assets in your name, and you want to make sure they're directed to your beneficiaries as you see fit. And the wonderful thing about estate planning is that you're not confined to family members, although most often that's who we want to receive the fruits of our labor when we do pass away. But you're not confined to family members. You can leave your assets to whomever and whatever you want. There may be a charity, an organization that you've worked closely with that you believe is very deserving of the benefits of your labor. And so you can certainly do that as well. You can leave assets to those organizations. I mean, there's a way to do that. But with succession planning, it's a little bit more in depth, because like you've identified for yourself, you at least need to know if there's someone who has the skill set to take over your business and cause it to continue to thrive. And if there's someone who wants to take over your business, because like you said, the alternative would be to build your business, to put it in a sellable situation. But quite frankly, most of us who are in business, myself included, you view it as a living legacy for yourself. You want to be able to build something that is lasting. It becomes a part of your legacy. You want to know it'll be in good hands. And the only way to do that is to really do the work of figuring out what would be your goal in having that business sustain past your lifetime. And identifying that goal will help you in your succession planning and identifying someone who might be able to take it over, because it doesn't necessarily mean that as you plan your succession plan for your business, that your business looks the same when you die as it does today. It could evolve. And if your goal is to have that business outlast you, it's important to know, what does the business look like after your death? What does it look like? And so succession planning is a way to force you into thinking about how you engage in your business. But most importantly, much like estate planning, and it's something you said, you've identified it, and I want to highlight it, that we're talking here about protecting your assets and developing these strategic plans with the tools we can use for estate planning and succession planning, because there is a period of time between you working your butt off and attaining some measure of success, whatever that is for you, and before you perish. And so much life is going to be had in between that time. You want to plan for it. So are you planning for retirement in your business? Succession plan is not only to get you to the point of, well, what happens to my business, to my assets when I die, but what happens when I want to step away? What I can contribute to my business has reached its peak, and there should be new management, new ideas, new strategies to keep us successful coming in the door, and I take a back seat. And if you're not careful about succession planning from top to bottom, management included, stakeholders included, you have to consider everyone. But if you're not careful about succession planning, you kind of miss the boat on that. You don't really give yourself an opportunity to determine, well, what does retirement look like for me? Does that look like 100% involvement in the business? Does that look like only 50% involvement in the business because I've cultivated someone I can trust to take over the actual day-to-day management. So the time between you just developing your company and your business and being as successful as you can be out here, that's where the work of estate planning and succession planning really shines. Because I think we have a handle on being capable and able to express what we would want to happen if we're no longer here. Maybe their children, nieces and nephews, you know, aunts and uncles. Maybe we want to take care of a parent who might outlast us. Whatever your family situation may be, I think we have a handle on that. But what do we do during those periods, like you mentioned, of incapacity? Or what do we do when we get to a point where I've given 30 years of the best years of my brain that I can to my business, and now we need new strategies, new management techniques, new technology to come in and take over, and that is just not going to be your strongest asset to your company at that point. What do you do then? How do you transition into the next phase of your company? And succession planning can help you to do that. It forces you to consider all of those things.
This is a great segue into tying all of this into business infrastructure. And for those who are listening to the show for the first time, business infrastructure is nothing more than a system for how you link your people, processes, and tools to ensure growth in your company in a profitable and sustainable way. Now, DeShonda, you've talked about estate planning, succession planning, and as I'm listening to you, I can't help but wonder, does one come before the other? Or are they worked on in tandem? What do you recommend?
Well, it kind of depends on when the person really just figures out that they even want to start down this path. They believe that they even have an asset to protect. Because I think it depends on when do you go into business for yourself or when do you start developing that business. Sometimes it happens when you're not even looking. And the next thing you know, you're in the midst of creating a profitable business because you've identified a need in the market and you're meeting that need. And so perhaps you're backing into succession planning or estate planning. But I think a better question is, when should they happen? I think they should happen quite early. The education piece for your average community of, I'll say middle income, we don't get a lot of information about the importance of having these plans in place because we assume that they are for celebrities or people who already have lots of money. When the reality is, planning your estate well and going into business with a succession plan in mind is actually what helps guide some of the decisions that you're making. Because if you already know that you need to be developing your business with a succession in mind, you want to achieve a certain measure of success, and it'll give you a trigger point for your next phase of business. Because now you know you've trained, you know, a manager who can take over for you. So maybe you can bring on a new product because you're not the only person who can develop and sell your products. And so once you've mastered one area, you can now transition into the next. And having a good succession plan for management, for employees, for co-owners, for yourself will help guide some of that. So I actually think that it all needs to start pretty early on in the process. Because much like a business plan, these plans can change. They change with life events. Mm-hmm. Marriages should cause you to reevaluate your succession plan in your business. It should cause you to reevaluate your estate plan. And by estate plan, let me also make it clear that that strategic plan covers protecting your assets from many different angles. And like you said, at a period of incapacity, you want to know, who are you going to rely on to make those necessary decisions for you? You don't want your business to be at a standstill. You don't want the everyday parts of your life to have to come to a standstill. Let's say you just, you know, it's a bad car accident and you're just not physically able to do it. If you don't empower someone else to make those decisions for you or to do the things you would otherwise be able to do, then a lot of the stuff comes to a standstill and it just may put a larger burden on you. So power of attorneys help a lot. States have what we call springing power of attorneys, which means they don't come into being unless and until you're at a point of incapacity. So they don't work parallel with you. Of course, you could do that. Medical power of attorneys. I think some of us are familiar with maybe do not resuscitate orders or live wills. But again, what do you do when you have temporary incapacity? So when your capacity is restored, you want to regain your opportunity to make decisions on your own again, but you still need to consider using some of the tools in estate planning to help things just kind of continue on, move smoothly for you so that you don't have a lull in your business operations or the operation of just your everyday life. That's what I would offer in that area.
Those are definitely tools that I think many of us, hopefully those of us who are listening, are actually already familiar with. But if we could just expand on that a little bit more, and I'd like to get to the people and process section as well. But since we were talking about tools, so you mentioned the power of attorney, the do not resuscitate. Can you also talk about trust? And I know there's the irrevocable trust. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other tools that are out there when it comes to both estate planning as well as succession planning?
Oh, absolutely. And the trust is going to find its way into both. Because you'll find with your succession planning that the goals of your co-owners, some of your key employees, key management employees, because you've got to consider them in succession planning, they may be better served by creating a trust. A lot of times the goals are to ensure that the fruits of your labor are going to the benefit of your descendants. So you want to make sure, or your spouse. So you want to make sure your wife or your husband, your significant other, and your children are taken care of. And one of the best ways to do that is likely going to be through a trust. And just so we're all on the same page, a trust is an agreement initially between you and yourself that says what you want to have happen for the benefit of a third party. So it's allowing you to use your assets and your money in a different way. So it's an agreement and a legal document that's created to hold your assets for the benefit of someone else. And like you said, there are different kinds. There's an irrevocable trust. There's a revocable trust, which is most common. There's something called a life insurance trust. And what that means is instead of having your asset owned outright, you create this legal document, creating a trust entity that will, instead of you holding and owning that asset, the trust will hold and own the asset for the benefit of someone else. So let's say it's a home, you have a second home, and you're holding that property in trust for the benefit of your son or daughter. You could still function as the trustee, or you could name someone else. But essentially, what you're doing is you're saying, I no longer own this for my benefit. This is held in trust for the benefit of my son or my daughter. So any income derived from that asset will be distributed to my son or daughter because it's being held in trust for them. And that way, when you die, the title is now more easily settled in your son or daughter. You don't have to worry about going through a public probate in court. It's already held in trust for their benefit. When you die, you were the owner, and now they become the owner because they were the beneficiary. So it's a much quicker process to them becoming the owner when you die.
Now, as far as the types of people that we should reach out to help us with estate planning as well as succession planning, obviously you're an attorney and this is what you specialize in, but for those who are listening and maybe wondering, would I be able to work with DeShonda even though I live in California or Montana or wherever they may be, how do we go about looking for an estate planning attorney?
What you want to do is, and of course, you know, I'm happy to consult in any state, but depending on how specific you need to get, yes, you want to work with somebody local to your jurisdiction, somebody in your state who's skilled in these matters. And just you want to focus not only on a good attorney, you need great legal counsel in these areas, but also you need a tax advisor. And however you choose to run your business, and if you have a bookkeeper or CPA, not sure how that works for you, and that person can help you develop the financial statements that you need but you're going to need a tax advisor because a lot of the planning is going to have tax implications. And you want someone who understands those tax implications. The new tax overhaul, and there's some things have changed tremendously. Some things have remained the same, but there are some nuances that you want to know how it affects your estate planning, how it affects your charitable giving, your annual giving, children or to your beneficiaries, and how it's going to affect your taxes. So it's important to have a team when you're looking to answer your questions about succession planning, exit strategy, developing good transition strategies for your business, and then personally for your estate plan. So you need both a good estate planning attorney and a good tax advisor. Another good resource, though, I did just want to mention is the Small Business Administration. They have, you know, if you go to SBA.org, they have some good tips and forms that small business owners can use to get them to start thinking about some of their goals in business and in succession planning. Because much like you said, you came to the realization perhaps you would be developing your business for sale, and that's okay too. But if you never stop to think about what would be my long-term plan with my business, you don't even get to that point. So you're not running your business in a way that would make it very desirable, sellable business. And that's something, and the SBA has quite a few, but good forms and tips and tools on how to think about those things. But yeah, a good attorney will help you get right to the core of why you're in business and how to continue your successes, even in transition.
Now, we do have some, there are listeners that are in other countries, and I'm just kind of thinking of these different scenarios, DeShonda. So what if there is, I know specifically I'm thinking of someone who's in Qatar, and she has a very thriving daycare center business, and she has thought about expanding that into the United States. How does that work in terms of business owners out there that have international operations? So for example, if she decides to open a daycare center where you are in Texas, would you collaborate with the attorney that she may have in Qatar? How does that work?
Well, yeah. So essentially what would happen is someone in that position would have to establish a U.S. of their business.
Okay.
So, and because of that, it would be pretty easy to establish that and go into business in the U.S. If you're considering operating globally, then that's a whole nother set of issues that would have to be, you know, kind of borne out by the attorneys. And of course, you would have them collaborating, but it really would be a U.S. component of an already existing business. There's no way around that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious about that. And as far as process is concerned, how do we even start this process? I think it's great that you mentioned the SBA and the fact that that's one way that we can kind of kickstart this process and help us start thinking in terms of succession planning, and which would eventually evolve into estate planning. But overall, if you had to kind of lay out or spell out a process, what does that look like?
Well, it's actually more simple than you think to start the process. It's going to be in the third step where you really need to start consulting with your professionals. But initially, what you want to do is kind of identify your goals. I can't overstate enough how important it is to understand what you want out of your own business. We can be very successful and still not really understand what's driving us. So we'd want to identify our goals. Why are we in business? What do we, at the end of the day, at the end of the journey, what do we want? Do we want to leave money to family? Do we want to build a legacy? Do we want to stand out in our community? Identifying your goals, and not a pie in the sky kind of goals. I mean, really tangible. What is it that I want from this business? Long-term, short-term, do I see the end of this business already, but identifying your goals is the biggest step in starting your succession planning, as well as developing a strategy. So, and what that means, the second part is developing a strategy. What that means is identifying how do you believe you're going to meet those goals. So in succession planning and business, you can imagine you certainly want to consider your income, your revenue. Where am I now? Where do I want to be in 5 years? Ultimately, what do I want to be? Do I want to grow this business into a multi-million dollar company? Am I happy working in the business 40 hours a week? Do I ever want to scale back? So when you're identifying those goals, you then need to turn to strategizing for achieving those goals. And again, you want to do this somewhat independent of your attorney or your tax advisor because you're uninhibited. You can really lay out what it is you want. The third step is really where you want to get your professionals involved, because now that you've given yourself the opportunity to dream, to really go big, think about what you want and reconcile that with the effort that you want to put into your business. Now you can turn to your tax advisor, your estate planning attorney, your succession planning attorney, your firm, and you can say, all right, how do I execute these things? And that's when the tools become really relevant to you. Because if you try to fit your plan into the only tools that are known to you, you may miss something. Mm. So before considering what tools am I going to use to implement the plan, let's talk about identifying the goals and strategizing to develop a plan first. And you take that to your attorneys and to your tax advisors and you say, this is what I want to accomplish. How do we do that? How can you help me get here? And that is when the real work begins and you're able to begin to implement the plan that you've come up with.
And I would imagine the more assets you have and the more complex your business is, the longer that process can take. But in general, what are you thinking? Like maybe you could have a succession plan or an estate plan done in maybe a month? Is that a fair?
I think that's very fair. You can have that done in about a month, about 4 to 6 weeks. But that is after you've developed your goals. Because let me also say, you know, everybody may not be as comfortable. And I'm not saying that you can't lean on your advisors to help direct you as to how you develop your goals. But you do want to give yourself an opportunity to say, hey, this is why I'm in business. I don't want that colored by why my attorney thinks I'm in business or why my CPA thinks I'm in business. And so you definitely want to give yourself some time. So even if it's about a week, you know, look at where you were when you started, look at where you are now, or even consider why you're wanting to start your business and where you intend to go, just so you can really think through your own goals. And then a part of the process when you get with your lawyer or CPA, they may actually want to drill down on some of the goals that you've expressed because they're still very vague. Once you kind of really honed in on the direction you want to head in, then yeah, you're looking at about 6 weeks. I'll say 6 weeks, not a month maybe, but 6 weeks, because you want to give yourself enough room as you're planning. If you realize, you know what, I actually like the outcome if we use option A versus option B. And so then you can kind of switch gears a little bit and execute on option B. So, but it doesn't have to take long. And your succession plan, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, you want to think of it like a business plan. I think at this point, we all can agree your business plan should grow with you. It should grow with your business. And so too should your succession plan and your estate plan. Like I mentioned before, when life happens to you, you get married, you have another child, or you may even establish another business. Yes, you should think of your succession plan as not static. It's going to, you know, move and live and breathe with the choices that you make in life and in business.
That was excellent. And unfortunately, we're coming to a close here, but I know there's so much more that can be said about all of these different areas of estate planning as well as succession planning. But before you go, I was wondering if you could share some additional resources with us where we can learn even more about estate planning as well as succession planning.
And you know, I thought about that, and it's very hard. Like I said, the SBA is one really good place, but I will say that if you subscribe to any of the business magazines like Forbes.com online, anything like that, they're really good to give you some very cut and dry information. But I hesitate to give a specific resource only because it's such a personalized area when you're deciding to enter into a succession plan or an estate plan. And a boilerplate checklist may or may not give you the opportunity to really pull in your individualized goals. And so I've considered a whole lot of them, but there are not many I can offer other than, you know, what might be out there for lawyers. There's one or two maybe books that would help. I'm not sure that they would sit with business owners as well, but I can tell you about estate planning, a good read for estate planning. It's called Wear Clean Underwear. And it is just read in determining how you can find yourself in a precarious situation.
Very catchy title.
Very catchy title. You'll remember it.
Exactly.
It's something that I read when I kind of started along the lines of how can I relate to some of the issues, because I have an in-depth knowledge and sometimes that doesn't carry over very well. And you want to be able to, people need the information and you want to be able to relate to them. And I think that's a really good book to help you relate to the importance of
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts about, and I think I already have a feeling what you're going to say, but what are your thoughts about LegalZoom.com? I know that can be very generic information, but is that an okay place to start?
Here's what I say about LegalZoom.com.
Okay.
There are a couple other legal forum websites out there. I don't shy away from them. I mean, people have to start where they can. And as we mentioned very early on, you need a plan. And even though a will is not enough, you go somewhere like LegalZoom and it feels palatable. You don't feel as exposed. I know sometimes it can be difficult to really get down to the nuts and bolts of how you conduct your business personally and professionally, which is something you'd have to reveal to your estate planning attorney, your CPA. And sometimes starting the work and just doing something helps you realize that I'm ready to do it and this just isn't enough. So I don't think LegalZoom is without purpose. It's certainly, I can tell you that the documents that you're going to get a website like that are 9 times out of 10 not going to quite achieve your goals, because it's going to leave out a whole host of individualized planning and protections that you're unaware of. It will give you an initial base, but it won't actually achieve what you want it to achieve. And who knows, it may not even be executed in the proper way, so it might not work for you. But I don't have anything negative to say about them other than you wouldn't get the same value from it
right.
that you could, you know, kind of just visiting with an attorney and learning a little bit more about this area. But if it is a place to allow an individual, a family, a business owner to start, I say go for it. Look at it, see if you understand it. And when you need more information, that's when you know that you're ready to go to your CPA or to go to your attorney and say, okay, I've tried this. It doesn't seem to give me what I need to accomplish my goals. So can you help me kind of take it from this very basic form to something that's actually going to be useful in my business?
This has been very enlightening, DeShonda. And unfortunately, we're coming to a close. But before we officially close, how can people get in touch with you?
Oh, good. So I'm definitely on social media, but I'll start with my phone number and email address. So you can reach me at 713-993-7310. And that's my office number. And my email address is dcharles@thetackettfirm.com. But I'd love for you to connect with me on social media. I tried my best to get information out to my followers about succession planning, estate planning, family law, and employment law, or anything that just interests me in the area of estate litigation or litigation in general. And I'm on Facebook at the Tackett Firm, PLLC. We're on Twitter, and that's at the Tackett Firm. And we're also on Instagram. Our IG tag is at TTF_law. So you can reach me.
Okay, so that we have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. DeShonda, thank you so much. I know we've only scratched the surface, but it's all the more reason why people should definitely follow you and reach out to you with any specific questions that they may have. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it. I look forward to being invited back so we can think.
Absolutely, yes, because again, we've only scratched the surface. So this has been wonderful.
Yes, and thank you for doing what you do for small businesses. It's awesome.
Thank you so much. So now that you've heard from DeShonda, do you understand why you need an estate plan as well as a succession plan? As a reminder, she said that the one thing we need to know about estate planning is actually twofold. One, the fact that we need a plan, and two, that a will simply isn't enough. I think a will is the first thing that comes to mind when so many of us think about estate planning, but as DeShonda has gone into detail with us today, it simply isn't enough. It will not fully protect your beneficiaries. And she also mentioned that with a will, there can be a myriad of unintentional consequences when that is the only form of protection that you have in place. DeShonda also did a really great job of explaining to us why our businesses are really assets. The day that we die is the day that our business can die. So why not take the time right now to start putting in place different measures to make sure that you protect and preserve what you have worked so hard to build. She also talked a great deal about succession planning and the fact that it's actually more in depth than estate planning. But if we view our businesses as being an extension or a part of our legacy, then that might prompt us to want to take even more action to make sure, again, that we protect and preserve what we're working so hard to build. She also touched on something else, thinking about retirement. A lot of times succession planning doesn't just necessarily mean that you're selling the business and you have no involvement whatsoever moving forward. It could be that you still have some minimal involvement until eventually you transition the business altogether. She said that we should start our estate planning as well as succession planning as early as possible. And this is not just for wealthy people or for celebrities. And when you go through this process of planning out how to actually manage your assets, it actually helps guide your business decisions. The one thing that I kept thinking as DeShonda was talking throughout this entire interview is start with the end in mind. I know that's something we hear oftentimes, but it really is true. Wouldn't it be a shame to have everything that you've worked so hard to build just go by the wayside in the event that you are temporarily incapacitated or in the event that you eventually die? Now, if you do not have an estate plan in place or a succession plan, I definitely recommend that you contact DeShonda. She gave us her phone number. She is in Houston, Texas. Her number again is 713-993-7310. You can also email her at D, that's D like dog, Charles, at the Tackett Firm. And her last name is spelled T like Tom, A-C-K-E-T-T, Tackett. Yes, at dcharles@thetackettfirm.com. You can also follow her on social media. On Facebook, it is the Tackett Firm, PLLC. Also on Instagram, her handle is TTF_law. And I missed your handle for Twitter. Would you mind repeating that, DeShonda?
Yeah, sure. It's just The Tackett Firm.
The Tackett Firm. Awesome. So definitely make sure you reach out to DeShonda. And she was very kind enough to go through painstaking detail about the different people, processes, as well as tools that we would need to have in place to help facilitate our estate planning as well as succession planning. As a reminder, we will definitely have links to all of those resources that she shared in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. Did you know that we have a YouTube channel? Yep, that's right. You can now find this show as well as other how-to videos from us on YouTube. Just go to businessinfrastructure.tv and look for the link. When you get to our channel, be sure to subscribe and click the notification bell so that you'll know when the next episode airs. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.